Brother Alex has chosen for his subject, Joseph, a picture of Christ. Joseph, a picture of Christ. Brother Alex.
Well, dear brethren, it's indeed a pleasure to be here and to fellowship with the Lord's people. I'm sure that many of the brethren in the past never thought that we here in 1987 would still be here and still enjoy the privilege of fellowshipping together, still waiting for the glorious promises of our Heavenly Father. Surely this is a wonderful blessing to be with the friends, and I bring with me the Christian love and greetings from the little class in Agawam, Massachusetts. I live near the borderline, that's why we meet in Massachusetts. There are many beautiful subjects in the Bible, wonderful lessons all through the Bible, and people even that do not know the truth, do not know the plan of salvation, get a blessing from the Scriptures. They even get a blessing from the Old Testament, the wonderful stories that we are familiar with, lessons of life and conduct that we can copy. But we realize that they miss the point in so many ways when we consider the wonderful wisdom of God. Great is the wisdom of God. First of all, we know that our Heavenly Father has permitted sin and death to come upon the human family. And this is one of the great stumbling blocks for the natural mind to comprehend the wisdom of God in permitting such experiences. It is indeed a trying experience. And when the Apostle Paul says in the 15th chapter of Corinthians, the last enemy to be destroyed is death. It's an enemy. It's not a friend. But the great marvel our Heavenly Father, as the Apostle Paul says in 15th chapter of Corinthians, the 18th verse, known unto God are all his works from the beginning of the world. If we by faith can accept that, we begin to recognize that there is wisdom behind the divine purposes in all his plans and arrangements. To think that he had permitted sin and death from a natural standpoint, as we mentioned, is a very serious and sometimes people misunderstand. I've had people say to me, if there is a God, why does he permit such disasters to come upon the human family? But, as we look through the Scriptures in Ecclesiastes 3:19, I have seen the travail that God had given to the sons of men to be exercised in it. And so, if our Heavenly Father has permitted sin and death and knows the beginning and ending, I marvel at the wisdom of God in the lives of people who have lived in the past. And in their spark of faith in God, they, by their lives, were able to portray pictures of things to come. This is the marvel that our Heavenly Father, without forcing anyone, without coercing anyone, in the Old Testament, especially the prophets of old, to, by their faith, to conduct their lives, and by their faith, have faith in God, and in their lives they are directing a picture of which they were not familiar with. But because of their faith, they proceeded to love God and walk according to his commandments, and by doing so, endured persecution and then illustrated illustrating the divine purpose. The Apostle Paul mentions in Romans the 15th chapter, whatsoever things are written aforetime are written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the Scriptures might have hope. And indeed these Scriptures portray to us that there's no other comfort in the world than the Scriptures. No other comfort. As we well know, one may have a large estate and all the wealth he can think of. It's temporary and very short. And eventually men are discouraged and saddened. Today the world has a higher standard, at least in the living standard, not in all parts of the world. And yet there's more trouble today than ever before. And so we see that our Heavenly Father, in His divine plan and purpose of God, had used these characters of old to illustrate something greater. And so to begin with, even in the Garden of Eden is illustrated the divine method of doing things. And so we remark, there's a greater Adam and Eve coming. There's a greater Exodus coming. Exodus, you remember the children of Israel coming out of that bondage? There's a greater Exodus coming from sin and death. Then also you think of Solomon, the glory of Solomon. Oh, such beautiful pictures. And you remember Jesus said, a greater than Solomon is here. And you recall also what the Queen of Sheba said. When she heard of the glory of Solomon, she proceeded to travel to see with her own eyes the glory of Solomon. And what did she say? The half was never told. Brethren, you and I... looking into these wonderful scriptures, and we talk about our great Redeemer and Savior, not only in regard to His death, but also to the where God had highly exalted Him. We know that He's living. He lives with the Father. He's at the Father's right hand. But we can say also, like the Queen of Sheba, the half was never told. The half was never told. I can understand now what Paul says. We see through a glass darkly. We're very limited and trying to penetrate the divine purpose and the glory of our Lord and Savior. And so one of the types in the Old Testament, the shadow of good things to come, is illustrated in the life of Joseph. How many people have read that story? And from a human standpoint, it's a great emotional experience when they try to picture themselves there. But how many realize that in that account is a picture of the divine plan and purpose of God? I think of this particularly to the Jewish people. One time I was serving at a funeral, and we mentioned about the glory of our Lord Jesus, and that eventually every knee shall bow and every tongue confess to the glory of God the Father. And I said, even the Jewish people. And there was one Jewish man in the audience, and he perked up his ear and began to listen. And so what I'm referring to, that the story of Joseph, even the Jewish people eventually will recognize their Messiah. So to begin with, Joseph in the Genesis, the 37th chapter, all the way through to the end of Genesis, the 50th chapter, is the account. We cannot dwell too much on every little item, but we have to sort of take broad steps to bring out the story of Joseph. Isn't it wonderful how the Heavenly Father, using Joseph because of his faith, and you remember Stephen in that wonderful discourse, Acts the 7th chapter, how he portrayed the history of the Jewish people. And he mentioned Joseph. And when he says in Acts, the 7th chapter, 9th verse, the patriarchs, moved with envy, sold Joseph into Egypt. But God was with him. Even Stephen said that God was with him. Joseph, one of the 12 sons of Jacob. And you recall that Joseph was the son of Jacob. And Jacob, his father Isaac, and Isaac, his father Abraham, all had faith in the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Joseph, a young man of 17 years of age, the father loved him because he was a goodly child, and he had given him a colored coat, many colored coat. And you can imagine, because of that favor, the jealousy of the other 10 brethren especially. They were very jealous. Benjamin was the other son of Jacob, the younger brother of Joseph. And then there were 10 others. These were born before Joseph and Benjamin. So in a dispensational way, we see that the ancient worthies, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, all the prophets, down to John the Baptist, were born first. Then came Jesus and the Benjamin type of character, already portrayed. Already our Heavenly Father is portraying the divine method of doing things. And so Joseph, who was beloved by his father, sent Joseph to see the welfare of his brethren. His brethren were jealous of him, of course, because he had a dream that all the sheaves would bow to his sheaf, or a stack. It must have been wheat stacks. And that he was in the center, and all the others, the 11, all bowed to him. And of course, they could calculate what that means. And then the stars and the moon would all bow to him. And that, of course, created a jealousy, a dream. In case of Joseph, we know that God spake in various ways in times past, as mentioned by the brethren. And so dreams are not the procedure in which we are to be instructed. We have the Word of God. We have sufficient information in the Bible. Dreams are sometimes caused by indigestion. But in the case of Joseph and the brethren, therefore, they were somehow were instructed by faith to proceed. And so Joseph was sent to see his brethren. And immediately, how interesting it is to notice that Joseph said, "Here I am," to the father. "Here I am," quickly. Oh, doesn't that right away point to our Lord Jesus? Send me. Isaiah is the 6th chapter. Send me. I will go. That's Rebecca. Remember how quickly Rebecca, "I will go." And so Joseph immediately went to see the welfare of their brethren. I do not know how far Joseph had to go, but I think he must have had to travel a few days and probably sleep under a tree, and yet the next day go off looking for his brethren. And he was wandering around looking, and someone met him and asked him what he was looking for. And they told him that the brethren are way off. And then Joseph proceeded to go to that place. When they saw him coming, this is what they said: "Here comes the dreamer." See? They remembered his dream. And they hated him. Oh, did they hate him because of that. They were characters, the other brethren, were really severe characters. They had not much mercy or consideration for others. This is very important because of what happened later. And so, in their scheming, they decided to throw him into the well. And so they put him into the well. Can you imagine a young man, 17 years of age, come to see his brethren, come to give a report to the father, and here they take him and throw him into the well. Do you know those wells out there were not the type, you know, that was straight down? It was something like a bottle. You know what a bottleneck is. And so they put him into this well, which was dry. Joseph could not climb out of it. It's almost impossible. And there they put him. And if you read the Psalms, Joseph even pleaded with them not to do that, with tears probably. But they were very unruly, very difficult to deal with. They didn't care about him, and they threw him in. But Reuben, the one of the older brethren, he told them to put him in the well, thinking later that he would pull him out. But he went off, and in the meantime, the Ishmaelites, travelers, that traveled through the area. They were dealing with commercial items. And when they saw that caravan, they decided to sell Joseph. And they sold him for 20 pieces of silver. Already we can see the picture of our Lord Jesus. Already we can see little notes of interest that pictures our Lord Jesus. Joseph did not know that. He won't know until he comes into the kingdom of Christ, when he will be brought forth as one of the ancient worthies. And when he comes forth, when the Spirit of God is poured upon the nation of Israel, then he'll begin to see that. But in the meantime, he doesn't know. He's going through experiences. And so they sold him to the Ishmaelites. You can just picture 17 years of age, a young man already tied to other slaves possibly, and going into Egypt. I might say that when anyone goes into Egypt, you remember Jesus at the first Advent said towards the end of his life, "Let us go up to Jerusalem." And in the 31st chapter of Isaiah, "Woe unto them that go down into Egypt." Notice the difference? Those who go up to Jerusalem get a blessing. But those who go down into Egypt always get into trouble. Abraham did and Lot did, if you read the account. So that is very instructive to the Lord's people. Egypt pictures the world. Going up to Jerusalem, going towards the Lord, towards holy things, towards the promises of God, you get a blessing. But those who go down into Egypt always get into trouble. And so Joseph went into Egypt. Potiphar, one of the military men of Egypt, saw him on the block where they sell slaves, and he purchased him. And so Joseph was taken in to Potiphar's household. And brethren, I would think, as a young man, I would seek every possible means to escape. But Joseph did not do that. And do you know, for 10 years he worked as a slave in Potiphar's household? And Potiphar noticed that everything he did prospered. It just prospered. Everything was done well. You know, I would think Joseph had that dream that someday his brethren would bow to him. But here he is. He's a slave. And for 10 years, he did things well in honesty and in sincerity. And Potiphar really noticed him and put him in charge of things. One day, while Potiphar was away, Potiphar's wife tempted him. And can you imagine? It said there that even days she tried to coerce him in one way or another. And at one time, she caught him by the coat and pulled the coat off his back. And she waited till Potiphar came back and reported what Joseph was going to do to her. Isn't that awful when you consider that? You know, I have a little story about Johnny and the cat. Little Johnny had a habit of playing with the cat. But he'd take his hand and pull the cat's tail. You know how a little boy does. He likes to hear the cat meowing away. And Johnny's mother would yell at him for doing this. One day, Johnny was in another room where Johnny's mother could not see him. But Johnny, instead of pulling the cat's tail, he was stepping on it with his foot. And the cat was yelling and meowing away. Johnny's mother heard the cat. And she says, "Johnny, stop pulling that cat's tail." He says, "I'm not pulling, he's pulling." Brethren, that's what happened to Potiphar's wife. She blamed him for the very thing that she was doing. Oh, what a shame it's going to be in the kingdom when she comes back, huh? Oh, my. Brethren, and Joseph was faithful, an honest young man. Huh? And remember, he he was nearing, 27, about 27 years of age at the time. 10 years. He could have prospered, couldn't he, if he followed her instructions. He would be blessed physically and in many other ways. But he didn't. Well, brethren, what kind of a lesson is that for us? Oh, it's in the Bible. It's in the Bible, and this is interesting. In Revelation, there are some who are not defiled with women. 14th chapter. Let's look at that. Revelation, the 14th chapter, I think it is. Here it is. It speaks about, "And I looked, and lo, a lamb stood in Mount Zion, and with him 144,000, having his father's name written on the forehead. And I heard a voice from heaven, a voice of many waters, and a voice of great thunder, a voice of harpers, harping with their harps. And they sung, as it were, a new song before the throne, before the four beasts and elders. And no man can learn that song but the 144,000 which were redeemed from the earth." 144,000 redeemed from the earth. Well, that speaks of the church, the bride, the little flock. "Fear not, little flock, it is her father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom." These are they which were not defiled with women. Oh, this is symbolic. Women. What women? Oh, the great harlot. The false systems of this world. They're not defiled with it. She wants you to come, doesn't she? Come with us. Huh? Things of that nature. And so how great is all these meanings. And so Joseph, because of his faithfulness, was thrown into prison. Can you... Brethren, It's a young man like that, and being faithful, taken and put into a dungeon. And while he was there, incidentally, he was there for 3 years. While he was there, the butler and baker of Pharaoh's household got into trouble, and they were thrown into prison. And while these two servants of Pharaoh were in prison, they had a dream. And Joseph interpreted the dream. The baker was saved. The butler was, killed. And Joseph said to the butler, to remember him to Pharaoh, because he's in prison faultless, not to blame for the situation. But he forgot all about it. And one time when Pharaoh had a dream, and this dream was unusual, Pharaoh had a dream of 7 fat cattle swallowing up the 7 lean cattle swallowing up the 7 fat cattle. And no one could interpret the dream. Pharaoh tried everywhere. And finally, the butler remembered something about his own experience. And he approached the Pharaoh and told him about it. So immediately, Joseph was brought out of prison. And if you read the account, they had to shave him, clean him up, for 3.5 years in such a condition. And incidentally, regarding the dreams, Joseph had dreams. Would you think that he would forget about dreams? His dream never came to pass. He's in prison. Oh, but what a wonderful young man when he said, God will interpret the dreams. And so Joseph was brought before Pharaoh, and he heard the dream, and he announced that that there's going to be 7 years of famine, 7 years of plenty, and 7 years of famine. And then Joseph instructed the Pharaoh to take a wise man that's familiar with all the surrounding areas, to build storehouses and so on for the collection of food, for storing all this food. And Pharaoh said, Who could take the place of Joseph? Who could do a better job? And Joseph was put on the throne, next to Pharaoh. And you can just picture the parade they made. Pharaoh is first, Joseph, and all are bowing to him as the one who is assigned to collect food. Now, brethren, think of it. Right? Here's Joseph. 10 years as a prisoner, as a slave, 3 years as a prisoner, 13 years, and now he's 30 years of age. He's brought out of prison and exalted next to Pharaoh. Isn't that a beautiful picture of our Lord Jesus, who for 3.5 years laid down his life and finally gave it up. Gave it up in sacrifice, willingly, desiring to fulfill the Father's will. And therefore, as the Apostle Paul mentions, wherefore God had highly exalted him and given him a name above every name. Jesus, before his condescending experience to this planet Earth, was with the Father, through whom everything that was created through our Lord Jesus as the Logos. Now, he came to this planet Earth. God so loved the world, he sent his only begotten Son, as our brother mentioned, the sent of God. Therefore, death could not hold him in Acts, the 2nd chapter. It is impossible for death to hold him. Why? Because he fulfilled the law. And anyone who fulfills the law can live. And he, because of his faithfulness, wherefore, God had highly exalted him. Far above his former position. Far above, next to the Father. How beautifully all that is illustrated in the life of Jesus, Joseph. And now, brethren, for 7 years, they're collecting food. They built storage warehouses and brought in food as the surrounding countryside supplied it for 7 years. Can you imagine, why didn't Joseph run away? Why didn't he run away? Well, that's the first thing I would think of. Why didn't he go back to the father? Brethren, here's a case of a young man who had faith in God, in the promises to his grandfather. He had a faith in that promise that in thee and thy seed shall all the families of the earth be blessed, and that his people would be delivered out of the slavery in which they find themselves. It is his faith in God and in the promises of his family. And incidentally, the Jewish people come from Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the 12 sons, and from there the 12 tribes. God hasn't forgotten that people. God is not through with his people. And that's illustrated, too, in all of Joseph's experiences. And so here Joseph, by faith, he continued to let the Heavenly Father deal with him. And now he's on the throne. For 7 years they're collecting food. But, brethren, don't you think Joseph, as he lie in bed, thinking about his brethren, he knew the famine would reach into the land of Canaan. And he probably thought, how would he deal with the brethren? And so 2 years went by. And then he notices a group of men coming, caravan. You can picture the camels. And here's a group of men. And I imagine that Joseph had a certain place where foreigners must come for food. And when he saw them, Joseph knew them, but they didn't know Joseph. That's a picture of the first advent. Our Lord Jesus came to his own, and his own received them not. They did not understand him. And incidentally, in connection with Joseph, that he spoke through an interpreter. Through an interpreter, so that they would not recognize him. And he said roughly to them through the interpreter, ye are spies. You come out to spy the land. He treated them roughly. Why did he do that? Oh, he was pricking their mind. What they have done some 21 years ago. He was pricking their mind. He was awakening their thoughts of what had happened. And so, what did Joseph do? He had taken Simeon as a hostage. That's one of the older brethren. And then fill their bags with food, and the money was returned, and Simeon was put in as a hostage. And now, in the morning, they are sent off. They go back home. And brethren, here's an interesting account I want to refer to, because it's such a lesson for us. In the 42nd chapter of Genesis, they are coming back, And they tell the father. And they came unto Jacob, the 42nd chapter, beginning with the 29th verse. And they came unto Jacob, their father, into the land of Canaan, and told him all that befell them, saying, now this is what the brethren are telling their father Jacob, what had happened to them. And they say, the man who is the Lord of the land spake roughly to us, and took us for spies of the country. And we said unto him, we are true men, we are not spies. We be 12 brethren, sons of our father. One is not, that's what they one is not, and the youngest of this day is with our father in the land of Canaan. And the man, the Lord of the country, see, they don't know him. They have no idea who he is. And the Lord of the country said unto him, hereby shall I know that you are true men. Leave one of your brethren here with me, and take food for the famine of your household, and be gone. And bring your youngest brother unto me. If they come again, he was told, they are to bring the younger brother unto me. Then shall I know that ye are no spies, but that ye are true men. So will I deliver you to your brother, and ye shall traffic in the land. And it came to pass, as they emptied their sacks, that behold, every man's bundle of money was in the sack. And when both they and their father saw the bundle of money was in the sack, and when they both saw their father saw the bundle of money, they were afraid. You see, this is unusual. To have food given to you and the money given back, that's not a usual custom. And they were alarmed at that. And Jacob, the father of all these brethren, these sons, father said unto them, Joseph is not, Simeon is not, he's taken as a hostage, and ye will take Benjamin away. All these things are against me. What a terrible experience that was to Jacob. But in reality, knowing the story all the way through, the things were not against him, they were for him. You remember the Apostle Paul says, if God be for us, who can be against us? Huh? And Jacob thought, everything is against me. Oh, how we act that way, don't we? When we're in trials and difficulties, and then another trial comes on top of us, and we say, oh, God is against me. So you see, here in Jacob's experience, knowing the outcome of it all, it wasn't against Jacob, it was for him. It was for his good. He did not recognize divine providential overruling in the lives of Joseph and the brethren, as well as in the lives of Jacob. Brethren, if that is true of the old prophets of old, how much more is that true to the Lord's people? He that dwelleth in the secret place, Somna, shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. All things shall work together for good according to his purpose. God has a purpose. And so, we do not know what is best for us. Only the Lord knows. And so we're willing to submit to his will. Learn the lessons, whatever that lesson may be. Yielding and submitting to his will instead of our will. Our Lord Jesus said in John the 6th chapter 38th verse, I came not to do my own will, but the will of him who sent me. Jesus had a will of his own, but he listened to God's will, and he accomplished that which it was designed for. And so, if Jacob, realizing what had happened in the future, if Jacob said, all things are against me, brethren, they're not against us. all things will work together for good. What a beautiful lesson for us there. And so the time went on, maybe about a year, and the famine was very extreme in the area, and it became so severe, I can imagine Jacob hesitated to let the brethren go, because they had to bring Benjamin with them. And he was fearful of losing. He lost Joseph. He lost one son. Simeon is gone. And now if Benjamin is gone, finally this famine was so severe that he yielded to letting Benjamin go. All right. And so they come the second time. They're coming into Egypt. And when the governor in the land of Egypt, who was Joseph, heard that they were there, he instructed the servant to prepare a banquet at the Joseph's palace, or whatever home he had. Can you imagine the consternation? This is rather peculiar treatment. And Benjamin is there, and I can imagine Joseph so anxious to meet his brother. He knew them, but they didn't know him. And brethren, what a emotional experience that is. How patient was Joseph in all his dealing. But brethren, this time they are brought to this banquet. And the interesting thing about what the governor did, Joseph, he set them according to their age around the table. And you could imagine their wonderment. What is this? And he gives to Benjamin 5 times more food than the other. Now notice, Joseph must have been sitting by. He could hear them talk. He could understand them, but they could not understand Joseph. Okay? And he gave him 5 times more food. He also had given Benjamin 5 times more garments, clothing of some kind. Why did he do that? Oh, he was testing them, to see whether they would complain and murmur that one of the others has more than the other. Not a word of complaint. There was a change of heart. He noticed that. And so Joseph told the servant to fill the bags, put the money back in the bag, and in Benjamin's bag, to put the silver cup. And in the morning, he sent them off. They went off a few miles, I don't know how far. And then he told the servant to pursue them and to find that cup that was stolen. And so the servant told these brethren to take down all the food in bags or whatever they had, and they were all examined. But the interesting part of it all is that the servant knew who the oldest was and next down to him. And so from the oldest, he then searched the bags for the cup, and it finally came to Benjamin's bag. And when he opened that up, he found the cup. Oh, what a situation. And so the servant said, we have to go back and face the governor. Brethren, there must have been some trembling, huh? There must have been a crisis in their life. What are they going to do? And if you recall the story, Judah was he was willing to take the place of Benjamin if he did not return Benjamin. Jacob was fearful to let Benjamin go. And so Judah was ready to take his place. Remember what they did to Joseph? They didn't care about him, but now they're willing to take each other's place. And now they're approaching back to the palace to face the governor in the land. Brethren, that was a very serious situation. Trembling. I'll pause here for a moment. I do not want to enter into that subject of which the brethren are going to talk in tomorrow. But there is a clue. There's an illustration that the Jewish people in the land of Israel will have to tremble someday. Now notice, this is the second time they come. The first advent, Joseph didn't make himself known. But the second advent, the second time they came, and they were trembling. And if you remember the story, how they pleaded with the governor, and I can imagine they just kneeled down and pleading with the governor. And Joseph could not contain himself. He had to go into another room and wash himself. And when he saw the change of heart, then he told the Egyptians in the room to go out. All the servants to go out of the building. And in that situation, Joseph stood in front of them, and you can picture this very vividly. He says in the Hebrew language, "I am Joseph, whom he sold in Egypt." You can picture how alarmed they were, and they just couldn't, huh? There was such a weeping as they hugged and kissed each other. There was such a weeping that the Egyptians heard it outside. Brethren, the time is coming when the Jewish people will recognize the Messiah, the second advent of Christ, where they will recognize, as in Zechariah, they said, the 12th chapter, they shall mourn for him as their only begotten son. Huh? Hey, all of these pictures are illustrated there. Hey, and then Joseph, I'm skipping over a lot because the time goes by so quickly. Then Joseph, he then said, "Is my father alive?" He always said before, "Is your father alive?" He was concerned about his father. But now he said, "Is my father alive?" "Yes, he is." And so the time had come that the brethren went back and told their father that Joseph is alive. He couldn't believe it. But when the wagon loads of food came, there were no wagons, as I understand, in the land of Canaan. There were only in Egypt. And when the wagons came, then Jacob believed. Brethren, what an emotional experience that was. He could hardly believe it. But what I want to tell you is this, that when Jacob and all his household were going down into Egypt to see Joseph, can you picture Joseph meeting his father? Can you picture after 22 years that in the distance, here comes Jacob, the father, and his caravan. And here comes Joseph, dressed in his regal clothes, going to meet the father. Brethren, the world of mankind, they've all gone into the tomb. Dust thou art, and on dust thou shalt return. People do not believe that there'll ever be a resurrection, that they will never see their loved ones again. How wonderful this is illustrated. in the life of Jacob and Joseph. After thinking they're gone, he was gone forever, here they are meeting together. Can you imagine all those lovely people that have been in the world? When they come back, I think there'll be more tears of joy than tears of sorrow. What a wonderful creator we have. And illustrating all of this. And then, of course, we know that Jacob lived with Joseph for 17 years. But after Jacob died, the brethren were uneasy. And they said, oh, now Joseph is going to get after us. Now he will treat us. He'll take revenge on us. No. And this is what we read. So shall they say of Joseph, forgive, I pray thee now. That's in the last chapter, where Joseph, they sent a messenger unto Joseph, saying, thy father did command before he died, saying, so shall he say to Joseph, forgive, I pray thee now, the trespass of thy brethren and their sin, for they did unto thee evil. Now we pray thee, forgive the trespass of the servant of the God of thy father. And Joseph wept when he spake unto them. He wept. Can you imagine? After 17 years, they thought that he was going to take revenge. And this is what Joseph said unto them. And Joseph said unto them, fear ye not, for am I in the place of God? What a wonderful character, huh? And then he goes on, as for you,